Okay, this time it worked. Last week it didn't. And now that we are with Conservative Nation Radio, my hope is that this show will grow more and more than it really ever did before. the past month or so have been amazing, as each week I've done more live and more archived listens to the show. Our last show didn't really do as well as the ones before that have, but I think it's probably because I moved a little bit. But our growth continues with news of the day and a good dose of what the liberals are doing to our great to this great country of ours. Join in and enjoy this informative show about how Obama is whining about the Constitution, how it is limiting him on what he can do, and, well, yeah, that is how it was designed. But Obama seems to think it was designed to hold back no one but him. He is our baby in chief. And we, I don't know. I have never, I've followed politics for, oh gosh, since Reagan was elected. He, okay, I guess I am. Reagan was the first president that I got to vote for. Something that I actually didn't think too much about at the time, but now that time has passed and everybody considers him one of our greatest presidents, I'm real proud that I'm one of the ones who voted him in. But what we have going right now is when Reagan took over, we had the same arguments going on in this nation that we have now. One of the things that was going on back then, and I'm sure every one of you have heard this from somebody, probably from the left, or but most of them are from our own party, where the Republican Party is dying, we need a third party. No, we don't. Reagan was saying, no, we don't, to the people who were talking about this back when he was running for president. We had a big to-do back then, and I remember this. Everybody was saying, oh, the Republican Party is dead. We've got to do something about this because the Republicans are never going to win another office. We're not going to win any major elections. So let's get a new party started. We have to have a third party. No, we don't. All we have to do is take back the Republican Party. And I was following through on this today, and one of the things that caught my attention was this article that I found on, I think it was Breitbart, and of course that's where most of the good stuff is coming out of nowadays. But the RNC, and this it was from Breitbart. RNC was, here's the headlines. This is great. RNC declares war on conservative grassroots. Why? You know, we think, you know, okay, the Republican Party, that is us. We're the Republican Party. We're conservatives. But if you look back on what is going on now, the Democrats were more conservative when John Kennedy was elected president than the Republicans are now. And this is something that has gone on as a trend for as far back as I can remember. The Democrats always want to compromise. And if we don't compromise, then we're the bullies, we're the bad guys, we're the ones who are against the United States because we won't compromise. But stop and think about this, folks. Which party is the one that doesn't compromise? And you can't say with a clear conscience that it's the Republicans, because the Republicans have given in almost every election to something. The Democrats will say, oh, if you'll compromise with us on this issue, we'll give you this issue. And the Republicans clap their hands and they gleefully jump around. They say, oh boy, we've got our issue. They give in. They give the Democrats what they want. But when it comes time for the Republicans to get what they want, things have changed. It don't happen no more. The one I remember, and this was when Reagan was in office, I'm pretty sure of it, or it may have been Bush. It was Bush. The border fence down south. The Republicans wanted it, the Democrats didn't, but the Democrats wanted something else. Bush gave in. He said, okay, we'll give you that, but we get that border fence. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about this. The border fence was funded already. The money was already there. All they had to do was get the government to say, okay, we'll do this. Well, the Democrats said, okay, to give us what we want, we'll let you have that border fence. It never happened. We gave them what they wanted. They got it immediately. But follow on down the line a little bit, and you'll see exactly what we didn't get. The border fence is still not built. The money that was funded for it, it was used for something else. Something else that the Democrats and the RNC elite, you know, the top tier of the RNC, decided that was needed more than a border fence. So consequently, the Democrats got exactly what they wanted. The Republicans got nothing. And this has happened ever since I can remember. And I'm constantly kicking the walls here in my studio and doing the things that just, you know, I'm surprised I don't have holes in the wall in this place. Of course, I just went ahead and fixed them. But we have the Democrats, and they're always saying, oh, you've got to compromise. You've got to compromise. We compromise with you guys. No, you don't. I have yet to see the Democrats compromise with the Republicans for anything if it's on their terms. And it, you know, when Reagan won and the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the White House, here's what we heard out of the Democrats. Oh, boo-hoo, woe is me. We don't have any power. This isn't fair. The Republican Party has to give us some leverage here because this isn't fair. This isn't the way the Constitution was meant to be. We're supposed to have power too. Remember that? Democrats throughout the whole term. Actually, with Reagan, it wasn't that bad because Reagan knew how to get them to do what he wanted to do. But with Bush, remember this, the economy was doing good. But the Democrats during the whole Bush administration kept telling us, and on top of that, the media kept telling us, this is the worst economy that we have seen since the Great Depression. And where was unemployment at that point in time? When they started talking about this, where was unemployment? It was like about 4.5%. That, to me, is not bad. Now they're trying to tell us this bull crap about how unemployment is now at 8%, 8.5% or something like that. And my problem with that lies in the fact that I know many people from friends down the street to people who I used to work with to people who I know are trying to find work but cannot. And other people who have tried to get unemployment but because the companies that they work with fought this, they never did get it. And after they've been turned down for unemployment, they just drop off the radar scope. The government does not know they're unemployed. I'm thinking the true number of unemployed in this country is closer to 17%. You go with the blacks, it's now saying they're something like 13.5 now. I'm sure it's probably closer to 20. But what are we to do? America is our country, but we have a government who doesn't really care. Obama tried to tell us the other day in a speech that we grassroots conservatives are wrong, that the government is us. He said, he is us. He was elected by us. And my first thought, I blurted it out. I said, yeah, but you don't listen to what we're saying. It doesn't really matter. And if anybody would like to call in and discuss anything about what we may or may not even be talking about today, the call-in number for guests or people who want to call in is 718-305-7176. And our lines are pretty much open. We're having fun. This is fun. But it just irks me to no end to know that our president will come on national television or give a speech to somebody and lie, just bald-faced lie to us and expect us all to believe it. And the sad part about it is many of us do. His approval rating right now is somewhere around 50%. That, to me, is completely wrong. How can 50% of our nation agree that he is doing a good job when he's destroying this nation? And I can tell you exactly what it is. He has grabbed on to the trait of America, of not Americans, but of human nature, the trait of laziness. Give me something free. Let me have that something free for a while. If I get it, I don't have to work for it. Why work if I can get it for free? Then you get these idiot people like that lady in Detroit who was standing in line and some reporter asked her, what are you doing here in line? Oh, I'm waiting for my Obama money, man. Right. That is where this nation is going. And that is why we are having so much trouble right now. We have, I was looking at something this morning. And it was something that really caught my eye because this came right out of the Bible. See if I can find the darn thing here. I'm not sure if I'll be able to, but by gosh, I know it's here somewhere. It was Isaiah 5:20. And it said, now I'll read this off and you tell me if this is what's going on. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that what's going on in this nation now? Truth is being manufactured as a lie, and the lies are being manufactured as the truth. And the sad part about it, with human nature, all we have to do is hear it enough times and we'll start believing it. And we are in a lot of trouble if we do not start listening to what the government is doing to us. Because there was another thing from C.S. Lewis. He said, and then she understood the devilish cunning of the enemy's plan. By mixing in a little truth with it, they have made their lie far stronger. Isn't that what they're doing? I sure think so. We have, I think, our first break coming up now, I think.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys. Did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, I think I forgot to do something here. conservatives like things to be predictable, dependable, and reliable. And like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher still roll out Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Hey, it wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And I'm not really sure what Bing has to say about that one.
I'm here. I'm just listening. I'm having a good time listening to you talking about how, you know, the parties are kind of a little bit misinformed, I guess, or some people are misinformed about the parties.
Well, I think it's more than anything right now, it's the people, because the Democrats have succeeded in making a complete lie into the truth, and most people don't realize this. I think a lot of it has to do with, especially when it comes to conservatives, when we win an election like we did with Reagan or with Bush, we go home. We start living our lives again. We have things we have to do. And that's where a lot of people don't understand. Once the Republicans win, or the conservative side would win, and I can't really say conservative because the new conservatives out there are really a different breed altogether. Just once they've won something, they go right on the attack for something else. Whereas Republicans and people from my generation, if we won an election, we'd go home. We won. We'll live our lives now. Let the government take care of what we sent them to do, and they'll do what we wanted them to. And we believe
in
this.
Yeah, and Robert, I guess you expect them to do the people's bidding, you know, In a lot of cases, they don't. And, you know, they end up being a facade of what they were running at, or, you know, what they were trying to accomplish. And that's the sad part of it. You know, that's why I like to surround myself with people that I truly know that they firmly believe in what they believe.
Yeah.
And that they'll do what they are sent there to do, and that's the people's bidding.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I was always amazed at with Mike Pence. He was in Congress for, I think, 4 terms, and he stayed just as conservative as he was the day he went in. And that kind of surprised me, because you follow people who have been there for a while, and they have a tendency to start swinging the other way.
Well, yeah, and then you also got people like Harlan Specter. I'm holding my little finger to my mouth here. You know, that's been in there for so long, that's done the same thing over and over, and he keeps getting voted in. And, you know, one has to sit back and say, you know, is this insanity? Because it is, according to Einstein. You know, you keep doing the same, repeating the same thing over and over, and that's what you get, insanity. That's what the definition is, so... And we're sort of stuck with that. But I like your analogy that, you know, yes, once conservatives win, then they pretty much go home. And that's the, you know, that's not what we should be doing. We should be on the proactive every single day.
Well, I think it's getting more and more that way now. But I remember this really well. I remember when Reagan won, it was like, the Republican Party went up in a giant yahoo, and it was like, okay, we won. Now we can go home. And nothing more was heard from the Republican side for a long time. And we hear about the Democrats and the left constantly hitting and saying, okay, the Republicans are doing the wrong things here. And they would bash us like it was going out of style, but we wouldn't bash back. And I think that was a big mistake, because they kept saying, well, if we do the same thing they're doing, it'll put us down to their level. But if we do it in the way they do it, yeah. But if we do it by telling the truth and letting the people know just what they are doing and how they are doing these things to destroy this nation, then no, we're not. You know, as long as we keep saying the truth about, you know, what's going on and why it's going on, then we're not going down to their level. We're staying above their level. And that is one of the lies that the Democrat Party has pushed out as being one of the truths that is perceived of the Republican Party. We don't care for America. And that just, it's like somebody's grabbing me around the throat and squeezing when they say that, and nothing is said in our defense. Well, you can imagine my joy when we get somebody like Rand Paul or Ted Cruz out of Texas, and they will come right back at them and say, no, this is not how it is. And that's what we should have been doing all along. And if we had, this country would not be in the shape it's in now. Of course, I don't think Obama would have been elected either.
Well, no, that's the whole thing. Is that, you know, I think that we need to, as people, and not just in each different state, we have to come together as a whole group. It can't be splintered, okay? But I think that in every person in it to themselves has something that they can do good, something they can contribute to, and if they believe in our republic, not a democracy, we're a representative republic, then I think that we will get this done. But it has to be, there's a time and place for everything, but I think that we have to get back into their faces. We have to start slamming them because they do the same thing to us. This woman out here in Colorado, this representative in the state of Colorado, that sits there and talks about magazines like you can buy them disposable. And then once they're done, she's going like, well, we'll get rid of these high-cap magazines, you know, after a period of time, because once they're done, they'll just throw them away. This woman should be laughed out of the state legislature in Tennessee, or in Colorado,
yeah.
I'm sorry, not Tennessee. This woman is
yeah,
laughable.
The problem,
it's a joke. She has nothing, she does not even know what she's talking about. She has no clue.
Yeah, and the problem with that is that when she should have been laughed out of there is right when she said it. But how many of us heard somebody say, hey, now wait a minute, that's a lie, that's not right? I know I didn't hear nothing like that.
When I first heard that, I was going, is this girl smoking crack or what? I mean, was she raised on this? Is she a crack baby? What's the deal with her, you know? But anyways, the new Hawaii's Conservatism show, the call number is 718-305-7176.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's the thing that always really bugs me about the media or the people who agree with us. When it comes to things like this being said, nobody speaks up. They'll speak up after a while. You know, it's like you'll hear it on the Blaze Network, you'll hear it on Fox, you'll hear it on, heck, even MSNBC said something the other day that kind of was not something you normally hear from them, but you'll hear it. But it's never said right off the bat, you know, If they're going to say something that's blatantly untrue, and you know deep down right then they're saying it that it's untrue, say something about it. Call them out right then and there. I mean, if they're out on the floor of the Senate of their state and they're saying something stupid like this, let them know they're saying something stupid. Don't just stay quiet.
You know, what was funny was... You know, it was funny, not to interrupt you, but it was funny was with the cop, that they asked the cop, and I never did get to hear what he said, but it was just, you know, because everybody just cut the tapes, you know. I'm thinking the editing room probably was just freaking out, going, oh, I can't believe she just said that, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, and the we've been conditioned for so long by a media that cuts out the things that really mean the right things, and they'll trim all of their stuff so that it actually can be said that, you know, the liberals won on this one because this person said this. And then they'll cut it to the point where there's one little bit of a line that this person would say does sound like it agrees with them, but if you add this other section that she or he actually said to it, then you know that that's not what they were saying. But the liberals are so good at manipulating the news that it's just astounding at how many people don't know what's going on. And you can tell that they don't know what's going on because still 48% of the people in this nation supposedly agree with Obama and that he's doing a good job. And when you know what's going on, you can sit there and you think, how in the heck can that possibly be? He's destroying this nation. How can we still agree with him? And it just blows me away. I did a post on my blog not too long ago when Obama said that the constitutional system that he took the oath to preserve and protect and defend constrains his ability to tackle gun control. And, yeah, I kind of sat there and I listened to the video of that. And my first thought on that was that I'd finally heard Obama say something that was right. You know, he's been in office for 4 years now and he's going into a second term. And this is the first thing that I have ever heard him say that was right. And, yeah, it is constraining him. That's the way it was designed.
It's supposed to work that way.
Yeah, but the trouble is he's whining about it like a little baby. He said, you know, after a real soulful type pause in there, that the government is us. He continued saying he was elected by us. But the problem is he isn't listening to us. He cares nothing what we, the people, say. And the sad part about it was he got applause for that. And all I can think about is, you know, just like you said a couple minutes ago, are they on crack? What are these people thinking?
Well, I call them window lickers. I didn't coin that term. I just came up with it. I'm using it, and you know, I use it in certain different instances that I am. But yeah, they're window lickers. They're the kind of the people that you know that you grew up with that are, you know, that they'll sit there and do anything. You know, they'll sit there and lick a window, and you're sitting there laughing at them, and they'll keep doing it because they're getting praise for it. So I don't know how to get, you know, there's different ways of getting rid of certain people, but we got a hard break we're coming up on, stop set, so we can get to that, and then I think cool. We got a little read to read here.
Okay, I do. Okay,
I'll do it.
Okay.
Nation Radio,
I don't even know where it is.
ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is. That's LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques, outstanding member service, drone planes. I'm just kidding, okay? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Okay, that's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
If you love America, you're among friends here. conservativenationradio.org.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You know that what if it came down to it, maybe LifeLock will come out with a thing where we can protect ourselves from the drones that the government's going to be sending out.
Oh, that'd be slick.
Yeah, they have can't have guns to shoot them down because that might hit a jetliner somewhere up there with a whole bunch of people, but we could use something like computer jamming equipment. That would bring them down.
It's funny you talk about that. You know, I'm sitting here going, you know, there's people that have gotten busted for shooting lasers off into the sky. You know, I'm a hunter, and I've been out today, and, you know, I don't have a laser on my gun while I'm hunting because it's not needed. I don't need it, and you know, and so it's against the law. But the thing is that I'm thinking, you know, how many hunters have sat there and maybe gotten their butts busted because they pointed a laser up into the sky, you know? And I'm thinking though, what if laser designation like that is such a big deal? And you hear about these people getting busted all the time. If that's a big deal, then how are we flying these airplanes? And, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if that's a big deal, then, I mean, I've got lasers here at the house and I could do all sorts of weird stuff with them if I wanted to.
Well, and you know, and the other part about that whole thing is, too, once the jetliners are up at cruising altitude, don't they put them on automatic pilot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice if we get a pilot or somebody to call in or comment on this. I'm not a pilot. I went to ground theory school and so on for a couple of years, but I just don't understand this thing about lasers. I think we've become just way, way, way too sensitive. I mean, now they're saying, you know, about the cell phones and the portable devices and so on that you can have them on when they go to take off. And they're letting knives back onto the airplanes, you know. So it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you don't know what signal the government is sending out, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny, but they, you know, they're allowing these little knives to be brought on board now, and everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket the day that some bad guy gets on the airplane and thinks, well, hey, this thing's about a couple inches long, and you know, I might be able to stab somebody and get their heart and kill them, and then we'd have the whole rigmarole going about how we got to make sure that there are no weapons on board, you know, and if somebody comes on the airplane that is trained like, I'll say, Chuck Norris, his little finger is a weapon, they'll make sure he can't go on the airplane with his fingers unbound or something so he can't use them.
it's
getting,
you know,
that ridiculous.
I mean, you can take a pencil and sit there and really mess somebody up.
Yeah.
It just was funny to me that you brought that up with the, we were talking about the lasers and that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, like you said, Chuck Norris. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that are actually a lot more deadly with their fists, and there's a lot more people that get harmed and get killed by people that just beat them up, or people that use blunt objects, which, you know, is not a knife, it's a blunt object, and yet, you know, they let them on. But we, you know, we're going to sit there, TSA is going to sit there and check, you know, some paraplegic young girl, you know, trying to get on a plane. It just, it's unreal to me.
Yeah, I think that was the last one I heard, was they had some little, I think, 6-year-old girl in a wheelchair. They decided that she was suspicious enough that they had to check her completely out, which I think, you know, I think they're just using their power to do things that the rest of us would get thrown in prison for.
Well, I think to me what happened here is that when they stop profiling people, we know who is blowing up things. We know who is causing things, bad things in this country. And we stop profiling because we don't want them to feel uncomfortable, you know. So, you know, when we stop doing that is when we started having these problems. And now we're profiling little girls.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. They're just getting to the point where it's getting completely ridiculous. You know, this whole thing a couple weeks ago about this kid getting suspended in school for having a Pop-Tart the shape of a gun and pointing at somebody. I can just see somebody, you know, has an apple fritter and he sticks a straw in it and runs it around the table like a tank and points it at somebody. He'd probably get arrested and get himself with a criminal record and be suspended for school and all that stuff just for playing around with a apple fritter. and I've really seriously thought about doing a video. I do videos on the internet. I think I've probably got 100 of them now that I've done over the years. And I had talked to a couple of people this last week about my show. I've been doing my show since 2007. But it's like last year I did one show in January and then I just completely dropped off the map. I didn't schedule any more shows that whole year. I didn't do any videos that whole year. And I just kind of just dropped off the map. I had essentially burned myself out trying to tell people things that I knew were right, and they'd kind of look at me like I was insane. Or I'd get these comments on my blog that would just totally blow me out of the water. To get told that I am a whack nut job because I believe in the truth just fried my brain to the point where I couldn't even think of what to say to half of these people. And there for a while, I had a lot of them hit my blog. And, you know, the thing that really saved my bacon on that whole thing was I had this black woman that She's down in Texas somewhere. She's become really good friends with me and my wife. She has such a way with words, and she taught me essentially how to talk to these people, how to come back at them. Don't forget the truth that you are always holding on to. And, you know, the thing that they keep talking about, you know, with me is they'll say, well, the Republican Party doesn't always tell the truth. No, they don't. As a matter of fact, the GOP, RNC top end of it is just as bad, well, almost just as bad as the liberals are. And we have to remember the one true fact of this whole thing is that truth never changes. No matter how much the Democrats try to make you think that the lie they're telling today is going to be the truth tomorrow, the lie they're telling today is always going to be a lie, no matter how they perceive it, no matter how they push it, and no matter how many people believe it, it's still going to be a lie. And the Republican Party has to learn this. I think the New Blood conservatives have. They've realized that, hey, the truth doesn't change. It's always the same. No matter how unpopular the truth may be, it's still going to be the truth. Christmas is one of the things that just really just blows me out of the water because a couple of years ago at Christmas time, the Seattle SeaTac Airport made everybody get rid of all Christmas decorations. And in their place, they put menorahs, which is not a bad thing. Islamic things, but all Christian stuff was, you know, stuff for Christmas was to be taken out. And that is another one of those things where they're constantly hitting us with something that we know isn't true, but we finally start giving into. And I was listening to Greg Garrison here on WIBC here in Indianapolis, and he's one of these guys that you really like to listen to because he is a true conservative, but he's a lawyer. So he's one of these guys that you never hear about because lawyers are supposed to be liberals. They're supposed to be able to take the truth and make a lie out of it, or take a lie and make the truth out of it and win their cases. Well, this guy is a conservative, and he's a lawyer. And he has a radio show here in Indianapolis. And one of the things that he mentioned, and I had never really thought about this one before, was that one of the reasons why the Republican Party is always losing to compromise and things like that is the fact that when we try something and it fails, we say, okay, it didn't work. Fine. And we go back out to living our lives. The Democrats, on the other hand, they'll try something like, here in Indiana, they tried to get a law, and then they've been trying this for, God, forever, as far as I can remember now, to sell liquor on Sunday. Every year they get voted down. They get voted off of it, and liquor sales here in the state on Sundays is still illegal. The problem with that is that when we lose, we look at it and say, okay, fine, we lost. Nothing more we can do about it. Democrats, on the other hand, look at it in a totally different way. They lose by so much one year, and the next year they lose again. Well, they look at the margins of how much they lost by, and if they lost by a smaller margin, they won a victory. And the next year they'll come back with a different kind of tactic to get this idea and see if they can get a smaller margin of loss, until they finally get to the point where the people are saying, I'm tired of this, just pass it so we can get through with it and it's over with. And that's how the Democrats work. That's how they push agendas that we all know is not right, but they finally get because they don't give up. They keep at it until the people finally get tired. The politicians finally get tired of fighting it, and they get what they want. And it's there's nothing more to it than that. They are very strong at what they want, and if they lose, then they go back at it next year with something else. And if they come back with a smaller loss, then they've won a victory because they have figured out a way to get more votes, and they'll go after a different angle the next year until they finally win. Well, this year, what they finally won was a hearing to give their ideals as to why liquor sales on Sunday would be a good thing. They still lost, but this was the first year they got that meeting. Next year, they'll try something else to go just a little bit farther, and they'll keep going until they win. And that's where the Republican Party has got to learn what's going on, because if they don't, we're going to constantly lose. And sad but true, I think that's the way it is.
Well, it's give and give, and it's take and take. It depends on what side you're on, I guess.
Yeah, we're the side that gives, and they're the side that takes.
Yeah, and we need to change that attitude. We need to get some backbone. We need to get some spine and so on. But anyways, all you secret members of the Joe McCarthy fan club, join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, for Radio Free America. Duke lists anti-communists among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. But if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservative. Conservatism for real conservatives.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And welcome back to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, number 216, with Robert Garding. Hi, Robert.
Hello. I was running through a bunch of the news yesterday and found an article by Michelle Malkin. And she titled it Smiley Face Lies and Homicide Hogwash in Democratic Hellholes. And this caught my attention because she's talking about Chicago. And, of course, we all know that Chicago has one of the strictest gun control laws in the nation, along with Washington, D.C. But she wrote here, she says, President Obama's hometown of Chicago still goes by the same old nicknames, Windy City. But after three miserable decades of strict gun control and permanent Democratic rule, Chicago cemented its reputation as America's bloody city. No amount of statistical whitewashing can cover up the stains of the left's ideological failures there. But as Obama continues to wage war on law-abiding gun owners, his home team is trying its hardest to spread smiley-faced lies upon damned lies to downplay Chicago's homicide statistics. And this is where it caught my attention, because on Monday, April Fool's Day, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel and Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy held a press conference to tout a dramatic drop in the city's homicide rate. The headlines read, March homicides dropped dramatically in Chicago, and this was in the USA Today. It says, murders fall 42% in America's deadliest city, Chicago, NBC News, and March homicide dropped 69% in Chicago, and that was from the Los Angeles Sun. Emanuel trumpeted the drop as a good sign. But here is where the things change. If it had gone the other way, what would we be hearing from Rahm Emanuel or Obama or the left? We wouldn't be hearing a thing. And that's the way they work. They think that all they have to do is keep pushing their ideals as long as their ideals are pushed the way they need to be for them. All they have to do is just keep it in the limelight. But if it goes the other way, shut up. Don't say a word. People will forget. And that's how they work. And the problem with that whole thing is the American people and their attention span has gotten so short that all Obama had to do to win re-election was move to the center a little bit on the things he was talking about before the election. The people forgot. They forgot what he had done to this nation in his first 4 years. And if they didn't forget, they pushed it off to the back of their minds and thought, well, maybe he's doing a better job now. This is what he's talking about now. Let's give him another chance. And this kind of thing has been going on for as long as I can remember. We had, I think back in 74, I think was when this happened, 74, 73, when Ted Kennedy drove his car off of that bridge at Chappaquiddick, and that lady was killed in his car. What a lot of people don't realize about what happened that night is that Ted Kennedy was drunk. Ted Kennedy was driving on an expired driver's license. Ted Kennedy did not have insurance. and Ted Kennedy did not report it until the next morning after he had gone home and gotten a night's sleep. How many of us would have gotten away with all of that without getting thrown in jail if we had done something like that? And that poor girl, Kopechne, I think, what's her name? Yeah.
Mary Jo. Mary Jo Kopechne.
Mary Jo, yeah. She drowned. But findings, they've done studies on that, and she could have lived in that car for up to 15 minutes after it went under the water by staying in the air bubble. Ted Kennedy could have saved her life. But instead, he went home. Went to bed. Didn't call the police until 9 o'clock the next morning. Of course, she was already dead. The rest of us would have gotten accused of murder and gotten thrown in jail. What did he get? He spent the rest of his life in the Senate as one of our leaders. How wrong is this? Why do they get away with this when other people like Tom Foley supposedly had an affair with an intern or a page, I think it was. He got drummed out of the Senate for that one. And that one, that is nowhere near as bad as what Ted Kennedy got away with. But Ted Kennedy didn't suffer any for that. He didn't lose his driver's license over this, even though he didn't have one at the time. He got his driver's license. He didn't get in trouble for not having insurance. He didn't get in trouble for not reporting the accident when it happened. He didn't get in trouble for the girl dying in his car when he could have saved her life. But let a Republican do anything like that, even if they're not a conservative, and they're in trouble. Because the Democrats won't leave it alone. The media won't leave it alone. And the people won't hear anything else until it's all over with and somebody's career has been destroyed. But then again, I guess we can sit there and think, well, nothing much happened. Mary Jo lost her life. Yeah, so what? At least Ted Kennedy's okay. Thankfully, he's no longer around. So right, as far as I'm concerned right now, he's suffering the consequences that he should have suffered in the first place. But now it's being pushed on him by our Heavenly Father, who knows what went on, knows what happened, and there is no lie that Ted Kennedy can tell him. To pass himself off as somebody who was good. But we have other people, not just Ted Kennedy. We have, what the heck is his name now? My mind just totally went blank on that one. Barney Frank.
One.
Yeah.
this guy's a poster board for, you know, some kind of really strange resort that you send people to that you really don't like.
Yeah, and one of the things I think I heard about him, I think it was him anyway, had ran a male prostitution ring out of his basement. How many Republicans would have gotten away with that one?
Yeah, it was out of his apartment complex. You know, and the guy owes tax money. The guy, you know, is in charge of, he was basically at fault for the housing bubble. I mean, you know, you can go back through Barney Frank's little sordid career. I call him the Rump Ranger for a reason, but, you know, you can go back through his sordid career and just find out that this guy is, I don't know why people up there keep voting for these for these idiots. I just can't. That's one thing that I just can't understand. In a lot of respects, I guess people are just really, really uninformed.
Yeah, and they have to be. But that's one of the reasons why I started my show in the first place, is I kept seeing this constant disregard for what was actually going on. And so I started watching it, started looking at it, trying to figure out why everybody's so uninformed. And the reason why is because for so long, all they had was CBS, NBC, ABC, and the newspapers. There was no Rush. There was no Glenn Beck. There was no Sean Hannity. There was no Fox News. So consequently, everybody was hearing things that were not exactly the truth. But since it was all they were hearing, then it had to be the truth. And my ideals on this thing just, it pushes my ideals like, it's just like somebody's trying to drown me, push me underwater so I can't take the time to figure out what the truth really is. Because all I'm doing is just trying to save myself. And I think that's where they get it. But that's why I started my show in the first place. There was too many people out here who did not know what was going on, and there was no way for them to find out. And I had listened to Rush for years, and I thought, well, heck, this guy's got the right idea. Let's see if I can get something going somewhere else and do pretty much the same thing as he is and try and find out the truth and what's going on. And then all of a sudden, here I am in the middle of a whole bunch of people who are doing the same thing. And to me, it's great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And we're at the top, and we're at the top of the hour. That one went fast.
Yeah, we got Patriot Depot. We need to talk about them, if you got that handy there, Robert.
Yeah, I actually do somewhere here. I was looking at that just a couple of seconds ago. Well, maybe not. That's, yeah, there it is. Patriot Depot. Yeah.
Take it away.
Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. And believe me, we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic t-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, Conservative Nation Radio, that's one word, and you can, you know, capitalize Conservative Nation and Radio, .org. And click on the Patriot banner, Patriot Depot banner. And that will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner. I keep wanting to forget, say, Depot, to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark. I gave your eye a poke, think the dog is in the bed, do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up, you and me, never, ever, ever give up.
Give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at bedsider.org. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
That commercial about kids fighting. That just brings back all kinds of memories. I know it wasn't my brother and I. We didn't really fight that much. But my two daughters, man, they're step kids. But, oh, man, you want to hear World War III. Listen to those two go at it. The oldest one has got a temper that is like her dad, which is not really a good thing. And the youngest one, just all she wants to do is play on the computer. You tell her to do something, and she'll say, okay, and then if you just forget about it, go back in 10 minutes later, she's still on that computer. And then the oldest one gets so mad at her for that because she won't do what she's told. But that's okay, I guess. It's the way they want to be, I suppose. And I, you know, being a stepdad, I can't really do too much of anything. But what I was, I had started talking about the lies and things that they're talking about in Chicago right now. You know, that article by Michelle Malkin, she put some statistics in here as to what is going on. She said back to the Bloody City. In 2012, Chicago racked up the nation's deadliest death toll, with 506 of its residents being murdered. The murder rate has simply returned to its bloody business as usual over the past 5 years. And here's the first quarter death toll breakdown for the last few years. For 2013, at 70 so far. 2012, at this point in time, was 120. So, yeah, it's gotten better. But it's still 70, for crying out loud. 2011, 75. 2010 was 75. And 2009 was 70. So essentially what Chicago has done is gone back to the 2009 statistics. But what they're talking about is a second city cop crime blog adds that Emmanuel's claim regarding the homicide rate dropping to levels not seen since the 1950s is based solely on the population decrease in the city of Chicago. And this is an amazing abuse of numbers. But as Mark Twain said, there are lies, damned lies, and statistics. Welcome to the statistics. Local Chicago CBS 2 reporter Jay Levine, and I'm not sure if that's the way he says it, but that's the way it looks, didn't buy the whitewashing bunk either. He challenged City Hall with a piece entitled "City Touts Lower Homicide Stats, but Context Reveals Return to Normal." Now, and with that, we have to remember that in 2009, the first quarter had 70 deaths, and this year we've had 70 deaths. But that doesn't mean anything if you think about it, because the next quarter could be really horrible for Chicago. And no one will say a word about it. The only way we'll hear anything about this is if it gets better. They may have 70 in the next quarter, and last year would have been something like 135 or something like that in the second quarter, and they will continue to tout, "We're getting better. It's not as bad." we're getting better. And that is the same kind of thinking that they use when trying to tell the people what is going on with spending in the United States government, too. What they're trying to tell us right now is that spending cuts, which we are now being told because of the sequester, there's all kinds of things the government can't do. And hello, Alaska, nice to see you're in there. Because of the massive cuts that were made because of the sequester. Obama is trying to blame all this on the Republicans. But if we stop to think about this now, and we have to do this, people, because the sequester in the first place was not a Republican idea. Obama came up with that one. That was his idea, not the conservatives. So why did they get away with always blaming the Republicans for something, even though what's going on was their idea? And it goes right back to the point where they figure that a lie, if told enough times, can be believed as the truth. And the bad part about this, people, is the Republican Party and the Republicans and a lot of the people fall for this every time. Lock, stock, and barrel. Here we are trying to save this nation, and they'll come up with some little idea that sounds plausible on the surface. And all we have to do is just a little bit of digging, and we'll find out that what they're trying to pass off as the truth is another bald-faced lie that does nothing to save this nation, that does nothing to save this nation money. Remember, after the sequester now, Obama stopped tours in the White House because now he didn't have the money for this. How many other things did we hear that had to be cut because of the massive spending cuts of sequester? Do you people realize that that massive spending cut was like about 1% of the total amount, if that much? My idea on this whole thing is if you have a budget and you have to cut by 1% or less, and you can't do it, you have no right to be in the position you're in. I think this about Obama. If he can't handle a 1% cut, what's he doing in the White House? Because if he's in the White House, can't handle a 1% cut, what happens when he has to cut 10%? And that time is coming. It's coming faster than any of us would want to think about. Because America essentially is broke. We are essentially running on loans from the Chinese. And all we are doing is pushing off the inevitable. And the longer we push this off, the more trouble we're going to have. And I remember Reagan talking about this. And this was like 40 years ago now. He was talking about the same thing. Government spending was way too much. It had to be cut. And I remember him cutting it, too. I can't remember by how much, but it was a lot more than 1%. And everything seemed to work just fine. We didn't have to cut defense spending. We didn't have to cut tours to the White House. We didn't have to, you know, and my idea on this whole thing is that if we got to cut defense spending and we've got to cut tours to the White House, of which people probably have to pay for anyway, why can't we have him cut his vacations? How many has he taken now? And Biden, too. I mean, they seem to be going on. He's been in office for four and a half years now. 4 years. And he has taken more vacations in those 4 years than I think I probably have my whole life. And the sad part about that one is I hit 60 this year. And I can't say that I've taken as many vacations in my whole life as Obama has taken in his first term of office. It seemed like every time I turned around, I was hearing something about how he was not going to rest until a certain thing passed, or he was not going to rest until this happened, or until this happened, and I can't remember any of the details because there's been so many of them. And then all of a sudden we hear about him being off playing golf with Tiger Woods, or throwing basketballs at a hoop and missing it 20 times out of 22. And all of this is supposed to make us feel better?
Your laugh has got me laughing. But you're listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, number 216. And we'll be right back in two.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higg and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Back to Robert Garding, the New Wise Conservatism radio show, number 216.
Okay. I was looking at the chat room when those announcements started up, and Barbara mentioned that Obama got a lot of rest on 9/11. 2012, when our ambassador was being murdered in Benghazi. And yeah, I had to stop and think about that one for a second, because I took a poll this morning, and the question on it was really simple. Should Obama be, God, it must be old age. should he be taken out of office because of Benghazi? And I took that poll, and the ending of that was just, to me, was amazing, because it's something that you never hear in the media, I have to go back at this one again, and I've said this several times. If he was a Republican with these kind of numbers, he would be impeached, period. There would be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But 86% of the people said yes. And I can't help but look at this and think, you know, if more than three quarters of the people think that he should be impeached because of what he did with Benghazi, why isn't it happening? Why isn't it all over the media? Why isn't every newscast at nighttime on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox, for that matter, pushing this fact? And the one thing that I have against Fox is that if you listen to Rush, he will talk about these things that the media picks up on, and they will all talk about it in exactly the same way. They'll mention things exactly the same way and word it exactly the same way. You'll hear this out of CBS, you'll hear this out of NBC, ABC, but you also hear it out of Fox. Now, with Fox News, they'll sit there and they'll put the other side in there, which the other ones normally don't. But you still hear the same talking points out of Fox. And that is one of the things that I think we have to get away from. If we want a network that will follow the truth and what is actually going on, then they have to break away from this using the same talking points. And that is another thing that I have listened to over and over and over again from Rush, and I've heard it from other people. And I've heard these things so many times that I can't right at the moment bring up a specific point, because there's so dang many of them. But the talking points are always the same. And if you'll go into Russia's site, when they have these kind of things, he will list them in the transcript. He will list them telling who says what, and almost every one of them say the same thing. Where do I have that poll? It was on Breitbart this morning. It was one of the side panels, and all it had was a picture of Obama sitting there, and it said, should Obama be impeached for Benghazi? And then you click on it, and it would take you to something else. And I, for the life of me, I can't remember what that something else was, but it was from Breitbart. Big Hollywood, I think, is where I was at. And it's like Barbara said, it's been swept under the carpet by the media. But I don't fully blame the media for this, because we allowed this to happen too. We knew it was wrong. We knew that an ambassador and four other people had been killed that night, and Obama knew about it from the get-go, but nothing was done. How many presidents would have gotten away with that? And I think a lot of what's going on right now is that people are saying, well, you know, since he's a minority, we can't say too much about it, because then we'll be racist. And I don't care if I'm labeled a racist or not. I have never liked his policies. When he first came out of the closet from in Chicago and decided he was going to be running for president, my first thought was, okay, who the heck are you? What makes you somebody that I would want for president? Tell me.
Robert, he was a community organizer.
He was, but do you think that President Bush would have gotten into office if there had been any of the same questions about his birthplace as there were about Obama? No, he wouldn't have. But here's the other thing that is really eye-catching on this. During the campaign, when he was running for president against John McCain, do you remember one of the things that was said about John McCain?
Oh, there was a lot of stuff said about John McCain. I mean, take
about his birth. About his birth.
Oh yeah, he was born in Guam.
Yeah.
Correct.
So therefore, yeah.
And they were
therefore
contending that, but you know, there's no contention with this birth certificate from Hawaii that we still don't even know, and it's going to court. You have I'm trying to figure it out. I just had a mental block here with the guy's name that's taking that to court.
I did a post on my blog about 3-4 weeks ago about that same thing.
Yeah, and I'm having a mental block here, but it's like a weird name. You don't hear about nothing. Look, you know, we have to realize, okay, we have to understand the media is in the tank for Obama. You know, they're in the tank for liberals, period. It doesn't matter. They're not in the tank for conservatives. And when you got even Fox News that is owned and operated by Democrats, then you get the news that you pay for. And I think it's so refreshing and surprising to me that there are people that are sitting there tuning into talk radio like what you're doing here and so on, and what me and Michael do on Sunday, and what the rest of our crew, because we got a bad crew, man, and what the rest of our crew does all week long, and what we do as far as on other sites too. I mean, it's just refreshing that people are waking up. I think they are waking up.
Well, Barbara said in the chat room that Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, F-I-T-T-O-N.
Yeah, that wasn't the guy's name. I'll have to look that up. But I thought it started with an L or something. He's got it's like an Israeli dude or something. I think he's got a really strange name. But anyways, everybody's got a strange name.
Yeah, I've got it on my blog. I know I did a post about this about a couple months ago, and I'm sure I could probably find it if I started looking for it. I'm pretty sure. I think somewhere in February or something like that. There's been a bunch of things. Yeah, so I did a post called Benghazi, What Did Obama Know and When? it just amazes me that this man can do so much that the population knows is a lie, and yet he gets away with it. And I still keep coming back to that one little thing, is that if we didn't allow this to happen, it wouldn't. If the news media said something that we knew was patently untrue, instead of letting them print this with nothing going on for a few days until somebody finally gets up the gumption and says, no, wait a minute, this is not right, and then allow them to print a retraction or say, oh, no, we made a mistake on that. That's not what we really meant. And we let them get away with that. And we know darn good and well that's what they meant. They wouldn't have put it down in print if they didn't.
Yeah, I found the one guy's name is Orly Tats. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or her name, I'm sorry, it's a woman.
But it, you know, but at least it's happening. But, you know, and that brings me right back to that same point. It's happening, but why don't we hear anything about it? And even Fox News doesn't print anything about this.
Well, I don't sit there and rely, you know, I have people and friends that sit there and watch, they read BSNBC News, they read Yahoo News, and they don't ever look at, say, Drudge Report or Heritage Foundation or any of the other places to get news from. And I'm thinking, you know, man, you got to be very shallow, you know, but I don't even want to talk to them no more.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't either.
It gets to the point where I can't talk to them. And, you know, as one of our guests tomorrow, Joe Carr, from the 48th District here in Tennessee, and he'll sit there and tell you, man, you can't talk to these people. You can't talk to these liberals. And he's right. You can't. It's very hard to do it. And it's a waste of time and energy anymore, in my opinion. So we have to conglomerate as conservatives and as traditional Americans and start doing some things that are a little bit out of our ordinary and get into more of the truth and propel that.
And start pushing things like the Heritage Foundation. You brought that one up. That's one of the best ones out there right now.
Yeah, Heritage, Cato Foundation. That's another one.
Cato Foundation.
That I like a lot. I like Real Clear Markets, that kind of stuff. John Tammy over there does a very good job at explaining, you know, why our dollar is so weak.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of good people out there that are doing a lot of good things. We just have to we have to somehow focus our energy into one laser beam, so to speak.
Yeah, and we have to do it. It's gotten to the point where if we don't, we're going to lose this country, and we're so close to that now. It's just It's scary.
Well, you were talking earlier, Robert, and about, you know, how the liberals, the media and so on don't report on this, but they've had over 100, almost 100 years, maybe a little bit more, some people, estimations of sitting there dominating media, academia, that kind of thing. They know what counts to them, and, you know, indoctrinating our kids and dominating the media is what counts to them.
Yeah, we had a thing this last year at one of the schools that my youngest stepdaughter goes to, and they brought home a thing saying that they were going to have a speech by Obama played in school, and they wanted to know if any of the parents didn't want the kids to see this. Well, both me and my wife sent back the thing saying, no, we didn't want Ariel to see this. Well, she saw it anyway. And I raised hell about this. She came home and started telling us all these things that Obama had said. And I called the school and raised heck about it. I told them, I said, listen, we were told that if we didn't want our kids to see this, they wouldn't. How come Ariel was, oh, well, she just kind of went in there and it just happened. And I think we're up on a break right now, aren't we?
Yeah, getting close. Go ahead for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. But, you know, and that's the thing that what we as conservatives and traditional Americans have to start realizing. If we don't start fighting for our rights, we're no longer going to have them. And we're losing them at a rate now that has never been seen before in our history. And if we don't stop this loss of freedom rate, we're not going to have the chance to turn it around. To me, that's just as plain and simple as that.
No, that's for sure. You can go on break now there, Robert.
Okay, well, I have no idea what I need to do, so. Let's see here. Should I read something about one of the other shows?
Yeah, you can read our show, Soldiers of Patriotism.
Yeah, okay, well, I think I got that here. Well, Women of Patriotism. I've got that one here, too.
That's fine. That'll
work. I was looking at one of the other ones, but I know it's here. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Hey, it's live radio, man.
Yeah. The Women of Patriots. Yeah. That's one of my favorite shows. I love that one. Conservatives Respect Pioneers, and Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, another one of my favorites, Ann Coulter and Monica Crowley have nothing on the Women Patriots, with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, who is in our chat room today. They're on at Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and it's the place to hear from real women who are real patriots, and that is one of the things that a lot of us don't really think about that much when it comes to patriots. We don't think about women too much, but boy, some of these women are really something. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our own very own B&B too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. How's that?
And you know what? That show there, I mean, they sometimes just crack me up in how they operate that show. I love that show, man. It's just a great show, and all you guys tune into it, because guys are welcome, too. They actually do like guys over there, okay?
Yeah.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
That commercial about the forest, that one really takes me back, because I grew up in Colorado on the western slope, and to us, the forest was no more than just maybe a 10-minute walk away, and we could walk to the forest. and we did this constantly, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, things that I know me and my best friend did back then are things that my parents would probably get in trouble for now.
Yeah, you might not want to talk about that, Robert, because, you know, you might get in trouble for it. I know I did. I basically grew up in Florida a lot of my life, but, you know, hung out in different places and so on. But, yeah, there's a lot of trouble that you can get into anywhere you go. I don't think the state really matters.
Yeah. But I grew up in, you know, like the town I grew up in was Gunnison. And it's that the elevation of Gunnison was 7703. You go outside of Gunnison any direction 3 miles and you're almost at 10,000 feet. It just kind of sat in this little valley, and in the wintertime we were snowed in. We couldn't get out. Even the airplanes didn't fly in the wintertime. And we didn't mind. We'd take off and go out into the forest in the middle of the wintertime, and it'd be 40 below zero. We didn't give a darn. We just went out and played. And we had a lot of fun. You can't find people to do that kind of thing anymore. You know, you get 40 below zero, and everybody's too chicken to go outside because they're afraid they're going to freeze to death. And I know I didn't. I don't think I've even had frostbite. But I, you know, had parents that dressed me for the weather.
Yeah.
And
but, I grew up, you know, I visited out there. I lived in Lakewood, Colorado, outside of Denver for a while. And I liked it up there. It was just the you know, going from hot to cold. Hot, I mean, snowing 22 degrees below zero and 3 feet of snow, and the next day you get up and it's 70 degrees and the snow is melting off. You know, you're walking around in a t-shirt because it's so dry. It's just I couldn't stand the climate up there. But hey, you know, to each their own.
I went back. I moved out of Gunnison, moved down to Albuquerque. I lived down there for 13 years, and I had a girlfriend that I took up to visit my mom one time, and it was in the springtime. Albuquerque was something like 70 degrees when we left, and we got up to Gunnison. It was 25, I think, was the high that day, and everybody was running around in shorts and short-sleeve shirts, and my girlfriend was bundled up in this huge coat, and she couldn't figure out why everybody thought it was warm outside. Well, after you've been at 30 below zero all winter long, when he hits 20 degrees, it's nice.
Yeah, that's warm, and that's, man.
That's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life, is that one, because she was so bundled up, and she had this down-fill coat on, and we were running around in T-shirts and shorts, and it was like about 30 degrees. It was, and the sun was shining. And, you know, if you got out of the sun, then it got a little nippy, but you know, you get in that sun and you could feel the hotness from it. And at 70 degrees in Gunnison, Colorado, that was hot. And it just all depends on, I guess, where you grow up as to what you can take and what you can't. I'm just thankful that I didn't grow up in a liberal city. If I did, half the things I can do and half the things that I consider normal would be impossible for me to do, because they would be wrong and hurtful to me.
Did you see that report that came out, I think, from the Mason, I think it was, or Madison maybe, conservatory there that listed the top states that had the most freedom? I posted on Facebook, and it was North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. Well, we came in fourth. Texas actually came in way behind us in Tennessee for freedom from regulations and government intrusion and so on. So that's we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be a good one then. That's something.
Well,
like, yeah, and actually, I have seen that, but I didn't think too much about it, and I'm not sure why, because it's something that is really important to talk about, and it just didn't even register on me when I first saw that. So I'm glad you guys are doing a show about it, because it's something that is important.
Yeah, definitely. We're also going to have a couple people on tomorrow. On our show, Soldiers of Patriotism, which is Sundays from 3 to 5. Hopefully my voice stays intact. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, with our main guest. And we're also going to be talking to Joe Carr, Representative Joe Carr from Tennessee, out of Las Casas. And I've got a buddy of mine that's, he's been a TRADAM member for a while, but he hasn't really talked too much about stuff. But he is an Italian, part Italian, I guess, Italian ancestry, and he can sit there and do a rant. So we're going to have him on tomorrow, too. So, yeah, if you guys can pipe on in, you know, join us.
Uh-oh. He disappeared there. Yeah, that ought to be a really good show. And that's one I think that all of us, we need to.
Yeah, Andrew O'Brien, you know, I mean, he tried to kill himself, you know, committed suicide, and paramedics brought him back to life. And he's doing something now. He turned his life around. He's trying to help out veterans and so on to get over PTSD. I think it's a great cause, and yeah, I look forward to talking to him. That's going to be a good show.
Yeah, that'll be a real interesting show. I hope everybody that's here or everybody that hears this show will go to that one. Not sure, but that's the one I just talked about a little while ago, I think.
Yeah, so there's patriotism
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, afternoon, 3 to 5 CST.
Yeah, that'll be a really, really good one. I'm glad you brought that up, because like I said, I saw that, and it just didn't even ring a bell with me, which is kind of strange, because normally when something like that comes up, or something that would be good for this nation, it just rings a bell with me, and I have to say something about a lot of it. But there's just things that just don't do anything for me, and that one didn't for some reason. And I think if I went back and looked at it again, I'd probably think differently. But it just didn't catch my interest, and I'm not really sure why. I kind of feel like apologizing for that.
Oh no, you don't have to. No, there's certain things. It just depends on marketing, you know, and so on. But I mean, yeah, he wrote a book called "Welcoming Your Soldier Home," you know, and he was so distraught, you know, after serving over in Iraq. So, I mean, you know, we're gonna have him on. It's gonna, I think, be a tear jerking type of show, you know. So we'll see how that goes. And then we got Rob Comfort. And then we also got Representative Joe Carr on too. And Joe, I love, because he's a 10th Amendment guy, man. The guy just, he's great on the 10th Amendment. He knows everything you want to know about the Constitution, and he talks the 10th Amendment, he walks it. So we're looking forward to that. And that pretty much, that I was supposed to call in to do our promo for the show, but I'm not going to call in because I'm already here. So that's why I'm doing that now. But.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like last summer, I think, I went out camping not too far from here. There's a lake called Raccoon Lake. It's a little bit west of us. And they have a big campground out there where we set up our tents and everything. And I ran into a bunch of soldiers who had fought in the Vietnam War. And, you know, my first instinct was, you know, because they had their jackets on and everything else. And I walked up to them and I says, you know, sir, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your service to us. And he says, you realize we're in Vietnam, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. And I said, thank you for everything that you did for America. And he says, you know, we've been back for many, many years, and I can count on one hand how many people have told me that. And that was just something that just really stuck with me and caught me in the wrong way. You know,
it tickles you, man. It makes you feel that, you know, you did a little bit of something, you know. You don't have to get all warm and fuzzy about it, and nobody else does, but the thing is that it makes you feel good inside, you know.
Yeah. Barbara was saying in the chat room that she has a town hall meeting Monday with Representative David Price, who I guess is a Democrat in her district, and she's going to play and have a little fun with. That ought to be fun to
Oh, that ought to be fun.
To.
Yeah. You get somebody from Long Island sitting there going up against Price, man.
that ought to be something. I'm going to have to hear that.
That's
I guess,
women,
or at least read about it.
Yeah, that'll be the Women Patriot Show, man. And if you guys have not checked them out, check them out. They're very good at what they do, and they know what they talk.
Yeah, and then that's something that and I heard today that Ricketts, I guess, is leaving us, which was kind of a sad thing. You know, it's the Warrior Catholic with Chris
Catholic,
Ricketts.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sad to hear about that because that's another show I've been listening to. And of course, when it comes to talking, on my show, I'll do it. When it comes to somebody else's show, I usually keep my mouth shut unless something really grabs me and say, okay, you got to say something about this, or I'll say something in the chat room. But, 9 times out of 10, I'm sure he doesn't even know I'm here, when he does his show. But I listen to it. And I enjoy it, so I'm really sad to see him having to go, but I do understand that. It's like I said, this last year, I pretty much got hit with the same thing. My wife was saying, I did my show on Saturday afternoon, and she said, well, why don't you change your show to Sunday, and that way we can do stuff on Saturdays, and we don't have to do anything on Sundays. And then it turned out that on Sundays, we went to visit her dad, which meant that I wasn't going to be home anyway, so I started skipping my show altogether. So I understand, family does come first. And it's one of the reasons why I built my little studio, because we moved into this house that we're in now, and out and behind the house is this little shed. And I thought, well, hey, I could put some insulation in here, build the walls up, put some a lowered ceiling in with acoustics and stuff like that, and make a studio out of it. And I went and painted the wall behind me. There's an American flag on there. And then I got Wise Conservatism's video side chat, which is my videos. And then I've got a piece of paper that I stick over it for Wise Conservatism Radio. And and it's all hand painted, which kind of made me feel good. But I got my man cave. And, when I'm out here and doing things, usually they leave me alone. Every once in a while, I leave the door open, the cat will come in here, and you'll hear them. Other than that, kids stay away, and I can come back here, and I've even got electricity back here now, which is one of the things that was a prerequisite. I went to Goodwill today and found 100 feet of 12-gauge wire, which is essentially what I've needed to wire this place up, and I've got an extra circuit breaker in the box in the house, so I can run that wiring back here now and actually really wire this place up instead of having the long extension cord that goes from the plug outside the house, which I've got now. And I'm running everything off that extension cord right now.
Well, use high class now there, brother.
Oh, yeah. And I got my wiring today, so I'm going to be able to get my wife's brother over here. He's an electrician, and he said he'd do that for me, so I'm going to get him over here when weather warms up, and we're going to get this place wired up and put plugs in here, and I'll be able to do things without having to worry about an electrical cord that runs from the house and back to here.
Yeah, that gets a little messy there, man. You got cars running over it. Well, at least at my house, I got an outbuilding too, and it's kind of the same thing.
Actually, I've got it running. It runs from the very front of the house, and then I got it running up to the eaves, and then I've got it nailed in underneath the eave all the way to the back of the house, and then it runs across, and I've got a hole drilled in the eave of this shed, and then I run it into this above the ceiling and then down, and I've got one plug there that I can plug all kinds of things into if I want to. And I've got one of those battery backups from my computer back here, so I've got everything plugged into it in case something happens, the battery stays on. So it'll run me for about 5 minutes before it goes dead. But hopefully this summer I'll have this place all fixed up and I can finish it, because the south wall I still don't have insulated or paneled yet. But I've got the carpeting in here and everything, so it actually kind of sounds pretty good now, and I don't have that echo that I used to have.
No, it actually sounds really good. I mean, I was sitting there going, wow, you know, there's no echo that I can hear.
Oh, boy, Loki just came in. Hey, Loki. He's one of the guys that I've known for forever. I remember when I first started with Blog Talk Radio, it was Loki and Doug of without them, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere near as far as I have. They've been really good in keeping me going when I've kind of lost my way. they'll come in and they'll let me know where my way is and point me back in the right direction. But I'm happy to see him coming in. That's great, because he's one of the people that has helped me to keep my show going as long as I have. Douglas Gibbs is the other one. Pistachio. For the life of me, I can't remember right now what his show is called, but he's on Blog Talk Radio too. And he does a constitutional show where him and Loki both are constitutional experts. they know what they're talking about. If you ever want to talk to anybody who knows about the Constitution, those two do. So I'm really happy to see Loki here. I'm glad that he has found me. Because I've always been in the morning, and now that I've changed, I'm in a different time of day, and I now do a two-hour show, which I never thought I could ever do. But I guess I'm doing pretty good, because I've got a couple minutes left, and I'm still talking. I sure had a heck of a time last week, though. Boy, I'll tell you, every time I turned around, I was like, okay, now what do I say now? This is not good. I've still got over an hour and a half left, and I've already talked about everything.
Oh, man, it'll work itself out. That's the way it is, you know. So, and thank you, Lucky, and everybody else for tuning in. You know, it's everybody's part in this, Robert, you know.
Yeah. But like I said, I was really happy to see him come in, even though it's towards the end of the show. But that's really fine. At least he showed up. And Loki's show is called Halls of Valhalla.
Halls of Valhalla, cool.
Yeah, and that's just a really neat name. I love the name of that show. But they are really somebody to listen to if you really want to get in there and hear somebody who knows what they're talking about. There's somebody else, and I think both of them would make a great addition to the Conservative Network Radio, Conservative Radio Nation. I just got informed. I got 90 seconds left. Wow. So
yeah, take it away, Robert.
I think I'll just go ahead and start with my ending song. I found it this week, by gosh, the one I really want. It's Mendelssohn's Fourth by Apollo 100. Remember that group?
Oh, yeah.
But thank everybody who came in, and I'm glad you were here. I'll be here again next week at the same time. Thanks for coming in, Loki, and Alaskan Barbara, and thanks, Bing, for helping. And I'll talk to you guys next week. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless us to start using more common sense when voting or listening to what the politicians are saying. Have a good day.
Take care. We'll be right back.
Boy, that just kind of ended, didn't it? There it goes. Yep, I guess we're off. God bless you all.